So, as usual, I don't really have a plan for what I want to talk about. Got back from a trip to Mariposa, to the Mariposa area near Yosemite last night, with my girlfriend Maria. And we did some biking, mountain biking, sort of, or gravel biking, if you want to call it that. It was, she has a mountain bike and I have a gravel bike, which is kind of like a hybrid between a road bike and a mountain bike. And we did a trip where we camped up on a hill, at this place called Yosemite Bug, which is sort of like a glamping place. So we have a little cafe and a restaurant, and they have hot tubs, and it's definitely not fancy. Although I'd say the hot tubs are pretty fancy, and the food is actually kind of really good. So it's near Mariposa, in between Yosemite and Mariposa, on right off of 140. If you're up in that area, or if you want to check it out, it's cold at night, and it's gonna get colder, and it's gonna snow pretty soon, maybe. So maybe something to keep in mind if you like cold weather camping. They have heated tents and unheated tent places, and they have cabins, and they have an area for just putting out a tent, which is really cold and definitely not not what you want to do if you don't like freezing cold nights. But if you wake up in the morning and you wait till the sun comes up and warms your tent, it's not too bad. It's a really nice place, and I think usually pretty quiet, and they get busy in the summer. It gets pretty hot there, but another one to keep in mind maybe for spring when it starts to warm up again. And I did some meditation this morning, and that was helpful. Kind of a rough night, but some weird dreams and some other stuff. It's getting back into the swing of things with work, just reflecting on the past week where I took my daughter to Disneyland. I went to Disneyland too. I enjoyed it most of the time. There was a ride there where I had to face my fear or my discomfort at going up and down, kind of like this elevator demon drop kind of ride, where I forget what it used to be called, Tower of Terror, but now it's Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout. So you go on there and you have a meeting with Rocket Raccoon, who is a robot animatronic thing who tells you what your mission is. Then you go into this really realistic kind of area based on Guardians of the Galaxy's character, the Collector, who collects all these weird things. And after going into his study, then you go into this main area where there's a Yeti and some other weird stuff. And then you go up to this, and this elevator thing goes up and down really fast, or drops. The drop go up and then it drops, and and it's just not fun for me. I did feel better about it after we did it three or four times. My daughter, wanted to do it over and over again, and she loved it. And they had cool videos, like 3D videos, where you're going up and you can see the characters interacting and fighting this monster. And it's really cool. They play really good music. Magic Carpet Ride or whatever, Steppenwolf song. And then they played Funkadelic, because of music from the movie. And it's great, sort of. But it was great to be, it's fun to be at Disneyland. I like it. It's a nice escape from reality. It's this weird nostalgia thing that I discussed with Abaya. She understands that, I mean, she doesn't necessarily understand that it's created to be like the past, like this town. She said, "Oh, it's kind of like this town where Disney lived when he was younger, like his old town." And that's kind of true. And this whole idea of nostalgia, which can be so so dangerous in our country, in this country, and maybe other countries, but certainly in America, this idea of, well, you know, if we could only go back to the 40s and things were so much better then and simpler and easier. And it's like, no, there's just scary stuff from that time. There's a lot of things that are that are better now in terms of race relations and how workers are treated, but things still need to get better. So in a way, we are still in the past because things are like that still. We still have racism and class discrimination against, you know, and against women, and many things have not changed. So in a way, we are still stuck in the past because we're not in the future that we want. We're not in the future where everyone is paid equally, paid a fair wage, and things like that. So in a sense, where are we? We've got one foot in the past and one foot in the present, and we're still looking towards the future to see how things can get better. So yeah, there's that awareness of going to Disneyland right before Thanksgiving and then reading all these articles and posts about this awareness around Thanksgiving and this holiday that was originally created, I think, by Abraham Lincoln after the Civil War to create a sense of reconciliation between the North and the South. And then it became commodified and taken over by this Protestant movement to create this mythology around the Protestant Puritan colonization of America and the peaceful negotiations with the Indian people, which is completely wrong and false. And then the irony of, you know, the North and the South still not fully reconciled, even though it's been, you know, almost 200 years since the Civil War here, which is ridiculous, you know, like, it's a long time to still have these regional differences and this kind of lack of education and this resistance to discussing the past and what the South did and what the North did and the slave owners and the resistance to the Emancipation Proclamation. There's just so much, you know, and just not being willing to discuss it, you know. A third grader can understand it, but adults won't refuse to look at it. And, you know, if someone has family who owned slaves at a certain time, like mine probably almost definitely did, or if they were had family members who were members of the KKK and other groups like that, then it's probably better to just say it and say, how can we address these past grievances and have, you know, discuss reparations, and how can we make up for that, you know, if our ancestors did these things, even recently. Some people might have cousins or might have people they know who are still in these groups like the KKK, or they're just calling them different names, you know, Proud Boys or whatever. They're very, very similar or almost the same, you know. And so, yeah, it's a mess. And being able to say this stuff out loud and talk about it and say, yes, this is happening. We can still have a nice dinner on Thanksgiving and be grateful for the things we have and think about the progress we've made and then think about how we can continue to help those who are still struggling, you know, like our, you know, Native American peoples that are still here on these unceded lands, and trying to educate ourselves, you know, those of us who have this privilege to travel and go places and have a nice meal on Thanksgiving because we don't have to work, you know, or we have a little extra money for some food beyond like whatever we scrape together. And so there is a lot to be grateful for and to reflect on, and it can be a little overwhelming, and I can see why people just don't want to deal with it, and they don't want to talk about it, and they just want to relax. And then you get another more news about a new variant, and we just have to deal with it. And sticking your head in the sand like an ostrich, I don't think ostriches actually do that, but to stick your head in the sand like people do, and go down these conspiracy rabbit holes, it's a lot of it, I think, is based on fear and lack of education. I think it's lack of understanding. We can have a sort of tough compassion for people like that. We don't have to say, oh, it's okay, you can keep your head buried in the sand and go down your conspiracy rabbit hole, because it does damage people when people go down that rabbit hole. Or we can say, you know, you're wrong, and this is why, and, you know, this is why it's important to get vaccinated. We could, you know, we'd say, these are the numbers, these are real numbers. It's just very hard to convince people that it's not fake. You know, there are people who think that Trump is still president, you know, and these conspiracies are based on these groups that kind of in a cult-like way reinforce each other in different ways by sharing information, supporting their ideas. It's really hard, and it really freaks people out, you know, when they hear about these conspiracies. And it's good to watch, you know, comedy shows where they make fun of these people in a way, and they ask him questions like, so you think the president is still flying on Air Force One? Trump is still flying? And he's like, in the White House, like, yeah, people really believe that, you know. And they're not running down the street screaming, yelling because they're homeless and schizophrenic. They're actually just normal schizophrenic people. They have a kind of like a mental illness, you know, and we don't really treat it like that. We treat it like we say that they're stupid, and there is a better way, I think, of approaching it. It's by talking about it in a way that, like, I guess this idea of like tough compassion, or not even tough love, that sounds a little fluffy, but like being firm, like, no, there is no evidence for what you're saying. And, you know, it's really hard to combat, and I don't know what the solution is, except to try to, you know, reason with people, which is takes a lot of patience that I don't often have, because people can be very hostile. You know, when you challenge their belief system, they can get really hostile, you know, and they call you names, and it's really hard to deal with, you know. So I really commend the people that face these people head on, and I continue to kind of live in my liberal bubble, and I don't interact with people too much, but I see a lot of it, like on Facebook, a lot of the racism and sexism. It is just everywhere. And people call it out, and I talk to people about it. I try not to be confrontational, because that just leads to name calling. But yeah, it's difficult. But it's a sunny day in Oakland, and I'm going to get back to work. I have several messages and some stuff to do, but I'm hoping to have a good day back, not work too hard. And I hope this was helpful. Try to meditate at least for 5 minutes today, or reflect, pick a word that is helpful to you to meditate on. A couple of different ways of approaching that, or a mantra. Think of a word like peace or God or whatever your higher power is. Think about that word and repeat it, or other mantras that you might know. Some popular mantras are Ram, just repeating Ram, which is one of the words in Hinduism for God. Om Mani Padme Hum is a Buddhist mantra, kind of kind of to extend blessings to all sentient beings. Om Namah Shivaya. I honor the Shiva in you, the divine in you, is a nice one. Om Namah Shivaya. That's a good expanding mantra. Or just follow your breath when you're meditating. Notice your breath. Let it calm you. Because your mind is going to do things and go up and down, and feelings are going to go in and out. But they don't last forever. There is a sort of ongoing conversation and feelings going up and down in waves, but each particular feeling or thought doesn't last forever. It just kind of goes in and out, just like the breath. So we can breathe. So try to take a moment to sit, and if your back doesn't hurt too much, or you can put your back against a chair or a couch, try to straighten your spine, kind of free up that energy in your spine. Take a breath. Exhale. Breathe through your nose if you can. Stretch your neck, shoulders, release some tension, and have a good day. Thanks. So, as usual, I don't really have a plan for what I want to talk about. Got back from a trip to Mariposa, to the Mariposa area near Yosemite last night with my girlfriend Maria. And we did some biking, mountain biking, sort of, or gravel biking, if you want to call it that. It was, she has a mountain bike and I have a gravel bike, which is kind of like a hybrid between a road bike and a mountain bike. And we did a trip where we camped up on a hill at this place called Yosemite Bug, which is sort of like a glamping place. So they have a little cafe and a restaurant, and they have hot tubs, and it's definitely not fancy. Although I'd say the hot tubs are pretty fancy, and the food is actually kind of really good. So it's near Mariposa, in between Yosemite and Mariposa, on right off of 140. If you're up in that area, or if you want to check it out, it's cold at night, and it's going to get colder, and it's going to snow pretty soon, maybe. So maybe something to keep in mind if you like cold weather camping. They have heated tents and unheated tent places, and they have cabins, and they have an area for just putting out a tent, which is really cold and definitely not, what you want to do if you don't like freezing cold nights. But if you wake up in the morning and you wait till the sun comes up and warms your tent, it's not too bad. It's a really nice place, and I think usually pretty quiet, and they get busy in the summer. It gets pretty hot there. But another one to keep in mind, maybe for spring when it starts to warm up again. And I did some meditation this morning, and that was helpful. Kind of a rough night. Some weird dreams and some other stuff. It's I getting back into the swing of things with work, just reflecting on the past week where I took my daughter to Disneyland. I went to Disneyland too. I enjoyed it most of the time. There was a ride there where I had to face my fear or my discomfort at going up and down, kind of like this elevator demon drop kind of ride, where I forget what it used to be called, Tower of Terror. But now it's Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout. So you go on there and you have a meeting with Rocket Raccoon, who is a robot animatronic thing who tells you what your mission is. Then you go into this really realistic kind of area based on Guardians of the Galaxy's character, the Collector, who collects all these weird things. And after going into his study, then you go into his main area, where there's a Yeti and some other weird stuff, and then you go up to this, and this elevator thing goes up and down really fast, or it drops, you know, the drop go up and then it drops, and it, you know, and it's just not fun for me. I did feel better about it after we did it 3 or 4 times. My daughter wanted to do it over and over again, and she loved it. And they had cool videos, like 3D videos, where you're going up and you can see the characters interacting and fighting this monster. And it's really cool. They play really good music. Magic Carpet Ride or whatever, Steppenwolf song. And then they played Funkadelic, you know, because of music from the movie. And it's great. Sort of, but it was great to be, it's fun to be at Disneyland. I like it. It's a nice escape from reality. It's this weird nostalgia thing that I discussed with Abaya. She understands that, you know, I mean, she doesn't necessarily understand that it's created to be like the past, like this town. She said, oh, it's kind of like this town where Disney lived when he was younger, like his old town. And that's kind of true. And this whole idea of nostalgia, which can be so dangerous in our country, in this country, and maybe other countries, but certainly in America, this idea of, well, you know, if we could only go back to the 40s and things were so much better then and simpler and easier. And it's like, no, it's just scary stuff from that time. There's a lot of things that are better now in terms of race relations and how workers are treated, but things still need to get better. So in a way, we are still in the past because things are like that still. We still have racism and class discrimination against, you know, and against women, and many things have not changed. So in a way, we are still stuck in the past. Because we're not in the future that we want. We're not in the future where everyone is paid equally, paid a fair wage, and things like that. So, in a sense, where are we? We've got 1 foot in the past and 1 foot in the present, and we're still looking towards the future to see how things can get better. So, yeah, there's that awareness of going to Disneyland right before Thanksgiving and then reading all these articles and posts about this awareness around Thanksgiving and this holiday that was originally created, I think, by Abraham Lincoln after the Civil War to create a sense of reconciliation between the North and the South. And then it became commodified and taken over by this Protestant movement to create this mythology around the Protestant Puritan colonization of America and the peaceful negotiations with the Indian people, which is completely wrong and false. And then the irony of, you know, the North and the South still not fully reconciled, even though it's been, you know, almost 200 years since the Civil War. Here, which is ridiculous, you know, like, it's a long time to still have these regional differences and this kind of lack of education and this resistance to discussing the past and what the South did and what the North did and the slave owners and the resistance to the Emancipation Proclamation. There's just so much, you know, and just not being willing to discuss it, you know. A third grader can understand it, but adults won't refuse to look at it. And, you know, if someone has family who owned slaves at a certain time, like mine probably almost definitely did, or if they were had family members who were members of the KKK, and other groups like that, then it's probably better to just say it and say, how can we address these past grievances and have, you know, discuss reparations, and how can we make up for that, you know? if our ancestors did these things, even recently. Some people might have cousins or might have people they know who are still in these groups like the KKK, or they're just calling them different names, you know, Proud Boys or whatever. They're very, very similar or almost the same, you know. And so, yeah, it's a mess. And being able to say this stuff out loud and talk about it and say, yes, this is happening. We can still have a nice dinner on Thanksgiving and be grateful for the things we have and think about the progress we've made and then think about how we can continue to help those who are still struggling. Our, you know, Native American peoples that are still here on these unceded lands, and trying to educate ourselves, you know, those of us who have this privilege to travel and go places and have a nice meal on Thanksgiving because we don't have to work, you know, or we have a little extra money for some food beyond like whatever we scrape together. And so there is a lot to be grateful for and to reflect on, and it can be a little overwhelming, and I can see why people just don't want to deal with it and they don't want to talk about it and they just want to relax. And then you get another more new news about a new variant, and we just have to deal with it. And sticking your head in the sand like an ostrich, I don't think ostriches actually do that, but to stick your head in the sand like people do, and go down these conspiracy rabbit holes, it's a lot of it, I think, is based on fear and lack of education. I think it's lack of understanding. We can have a sort of tough compassion for people like that. We don't have to say, oh, it's okay, you can keep your head buried in the sand and go down your conspiracy rabbit hole, because it does damage people when people go down that rabbit hole. Or we can say, you know, you're wrong and this is why, and, you know, this is why it's important to get vaccinated. We could, you know, we'd say, these are the numbers, these are real numbers. It's just very hard to convince people that it's not fake. You know, there are people who think that Trump is still president, you know, and these conspiracies are based on these groups that kind of in a cult-like way reinforce each other in different ways by sharing information, supporting their ideas. It's really hard, and it really freaks people out, you know, when they hear about these conspiracies. And it's good to watch, you know, comedy shows where they make fun of these people in a way, and they ask him questions like, so you think the president is still flying on Air Force One? Trump is still flying? And he's like, in the White House, like, yeah, people really believe that, you know. And they're not running down the street screaming, yelling because they're homeless and schizophrenic. They're actually just normal schizophrenic people. They have a kind of like a mental illness, you know, and we don't really treat it like that. We treat it like we say that they're stupid, and that there is a better way, I think, of approaching it. It's by talking about it in a way that had, like, I guess this idea of like tough compassion, or not even tough love, that sounds a little fluffy, but like being firm, like, no, there is no evidence for what you're saying. And, you know, it's really hard. It's really hard to combat. And I don't know what the solution is, except to try to, you know, reason with people, which takes a lot of patience that I don't often have, because people can be very hostile. You know, when you challenge their belief system, they can get really hostile, you know, and they call you names. And it's really hard to deal with, you know. So I really commend the people that face these people head on and I continue to kind of live in my liberal bubble, and I don't interact with people too much, but I see a lot of it, like on Facebook, a lot of the racism and sexism. It is just everywhere. And people call it out, and I talk to people about it. I try not to be confrontational because that just leads to name calling. But yeah, it's difficult, but it's a sunny day in Oakland, and I'm going to get back to work. I have several messages and some stuff to do, but I'm hoping to have a good day back, not work too hard. And I hope this was helpful. Try to meditate at least for 5 minutes today, or reflect, pick a word that is helpful to you to meditate on. A couple of different ways of approaching that, or a mantra. Think of a word like peace or God or whatever how your higher power is. Think about that word and repeat it, or other mantras that you might know. Some popular mantras are Ram, just repeating Ram, which is one of the words in Hinduism for God. Om Mani Padme Hum is a Buddhist mantra, kind of to extend blessings to all sentient beings. Om Namah Shivaya, I honor the Shiva in you, the divine in you, is a nice one. Om Namah Shivaya. That's a good expanding mantra. Or just follow your breath when you're meditating. Notice your breath, let it calm you. Because your mind is going to do things and go up and down, and feelings are going to go in and out. But they don't last forever. There is a sort of ongoing conversation and feelings going up and down in waves, but each particular feeling or thought doesn't last forever. It just kind of goes in and out, just like the breath. So we can breathe. So try to take a moment to sit, and if your back doesn't hurt too much, or you can put your back against a chair or a couch, try to straighten your spine, kind of free up that energy in your spine. Take a breath. Exhale. Breathe through your nose if you can. Stretch your neck, shoulders, release some tension, and have a good day. Thanks.